The word today is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it in the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, you have given us your word. Now I ask that you would plant that word deep in our lives, and that what we do with your word would be pay attention and obey. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you just take the facts, take the opinions, take the interpretation out of it, if you just take the facts, we live in one of the most amazing periods in the history of humanity. Do you realize that today extreme poverty is at the lowest level it has ever been? It is less than 20%. Less than 20% of the population live in grinding poverty. This, at the rate it has been decreasing, this poverty will be gone in the next 50 years. In the next 50 years, our world lives longer, is healthier, wealthier, has more advantages, has more hope than at any other time in the world. We, in our country, experience technological wonders. Our lifespan is increasing. And if you just take the facts, and you don't let people interpret them for you, you just look at them, you realize we are a blessed nation. But for all of the things that we have, for all of the things that we see, there is an underlying and absolutely consistent attitude that something is wrong. That something is happening. We're going in the wrong direction. And that wrong direction has many origins depending upon where you are in the spectrum of politics. But those in the church, there has been a rising voice, those in the church. It's a repeated voice that somehow we have to take our country back. We got to take them back. Now, back to where? Can't go back to the 50s. You can't go back to the 60s. I think we should just leave the 70s and don't even think about it again. Can't go back to the 80s. We don't go, where do we take that? I think that's the wrong direction. I think we in the church need to think about moving our nation forward. Moving our nation forward. Forward on a past. On a path, not a pass, a path that reflects the will and the attitude of glory, of God's glory. We need to put forward on a path where the poor and the disenfranchised and the stranger just like it says in, repeatedly in the Bible, are taken care of, where people live responsibly to one another. To see that people are precious in the eyes of God, to bring love and grace, not mistrust and anger. To take the will of God and let it be lived out, where all of us are productive for the purpose of God and one another, and where we value all of His gifts. And you think to yourself, how in the world is the church going to do that? If you take the national population of the United States, somewhere in the neighborhood of 320 million people, and at best, regardless of what Barna and the other people say, at best, 20% of the population are active Christians. And by active Christians, I mean trying to, at some level, honor Christ, live for Him, do what Christ asks. At best, 20%. And you're thinking, wow, that's nothing. That's 64 million out of 320. It's a drop in the bucket. I find it interesting that Jesus took 12 men, 120 on the day of Pentecost, and completely transformed the world. Sometimes we in the church, we look at the task that lays out before us, we look at the things that God would have us do, and we think to ourselves, there's no way we can do this. There's no way we can do this. Yes, there is. This morning, I would like you to take a look at an individual who has a task and a job in front of him that's impossible. And God commissions him in the very first chapter of the book named after him. By the way, that's the first person in the Bible to have God's name incorporated in his. First time that's ever happened in the Bible, Joshua. And God said, when I'm with you, all things are possible. When I'm with you, all things are possible. After the death of Moses, can you imagine what that was like? For 40 years, Moses had been the largest individual, the most gargantuan individual on the landscape of Joshua's life. He was the largest, larger than life. He came out of the desert with his brother Aaron and freed the people from Egypt. He led the people and he showed miraculous signs. He brought darkness. He brought lice, he brought flies, he brought a lot of things nobody wants in their house, like frogs, a number of things. And finally, he killed the firstborn, not he, but God, through him, by God's performance around him, the firstborn of all the nation of Egypt. He split a sea. He hit a rock in the middle of desert, and all of a sudden, water for over 3 million people appeared. He found them food, water, clothing, everything. He led them against the Amalekites. He carried them as a people. For 40 years, he guided them and walked with them until the day he died. And now Joshua has the responsibility of picking up that mantle, and he is the one that's going to have to go forward to it, and he's going to have to be the one that helps fulfill the promise of God of coming in and receiving the promised land, which, by the way, is occupied by a number of people who are giants. Is he up to it? Well, then Yahweh said to Joshua, son of Nun. Now he's speaking to him directly. God is now speaking to Joshua absolutely directly. Not for the first time, but now he's the focal point. And he changed his name. His name was Hosea, which means salvation. And God changed it to Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Moses' lieutenant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Here's the situation. There is no leadership. There's a vacuum there. And Israel does not do well without a leader. As you will look in the book of Judges, Israel doesn't behave well when there isn't somebody at the very centerpiece leading them, and they need it. In fact, Moses said to the Lord back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Numbers chapter 27, may the Lord who gives breath to all living things appoint someone over this community to go out before them, someone who's going to lead them so that the Lord's people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd. Joshua is now the one who has been picked to carry on. And he said, now it's your job. And he knows these people. Now, the sour and rebellious generation who gave them no end of grief are gone. But you know something? A lot of times, we're like our parents. On a regular basis in our house, my wife is apt to look at me and say, you're not going to talk like your dad. I won't have Bob living in this house. I'll tell a joke or I'll say something, and she just looks at me, and she just looks at me with that look that says, no more Bobisms. Does anybody else get that from anybody? You sound just like your dad / mother. Does anybody else ever get, okay, I'm the only one, all right. It's your cross to bear, babe.
Yes, it is.
And Moses, he said, look, you're the one that's going to have to carry this on. And you're the one that's going to have to walk. But the Lord will be with you at all times. And the Lord will give you the strength that's necessary. Now, you, he looks at Joshua and says, hey, you, this is what's going to happen. Get ready. Go across the Jordan River into the land I'm about to get you. That's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says, get up and go. Get up and go. If you want to be biblical, arise and go. But really what it means is it's time to get up and get going. Get ready to cross the river. Get up and take the promise that you've been receiving all these years. Let's go. And I will give you every place that your foot steps. Isn't that amazing? God says, I'm going to promise you, wherever you walk, you're in the land I'm going to give you. You can't outwalk this land. That's how vast and how huge it is. I'm going to do this. This is the promise I made. I'm going to give it to you. Your territory on the south is going to go from the desert on the south all the way up to Lebanon. On the east, it's going to go all the way from the Euphrates, the great river, and then it's going to go all the way to the Mediterranean on the west. That's where you're going to be. You're going to walk all that territory. I made this promise over 600 years ago, and now it's being kept today. You think about that, 600 years. What do you think was going on January 25th in the year 1515 right here in this territory? Or 1415, right? Where do you think that? What was going on here? Nothing. Maybe a deer or two walking around. Think about it, 600 years. And God kept the promise. And he said, no one is going to be able to stand against you all the days of your life. For as long as you live, however long that is, you will be the authority and the power. You are always going to be victorious. You are always going to overcome. You're going to have the authority and power that I gave my servant Moses, and I'm going to give it to you. No one is going to defeat. You will always have success. Because as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your constant presence and strength. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The promise of God. And by the way, Yahweh means the one who keeps his promises as well. I will never abandon you. You will never be on your own. You will never be without my strength and authority. I will always support you. So be strong and courageous. If you underline in your Bible, I hope you underline that. It's said three times in this short passage. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. That's not the first time he ever heard this. Moses told him to be strong and courageous in Deuteronomy 31 when he was officially anointed as the successor. And Moses said to him, be strong and courageous because you're going to lead these people into the land the Lord your God swore to their ancestors to give them. You have to divide it among them as their inheritance. Yahweh will go before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous, because you've got to lead these people. You have to lead them into the land. You have, one of the problems of being with someone for 40 years is that you know them. And for 40 years, he has watched these people as they have repeatedly and over year after year promised to obey God and do exactly the opposite. Who promised to be faithful and fall away at the first sign of any difficulties. Do you realize that in chapter number 15, they crossed the river. Chapter 14 in the book of Exodus, they crossed the Red Sea. It split before them. And then as the Egyptian army is coming across, God flooded it over them. In chapter 16, the Amalekites attacked them, and in chapter 16, they annihilated them. And God has shown them the miracles that he's done. And in chapter 17, they're crabby. Because there's nothing to eat and I'm thirsty and I don't know what to do. And they were a stiff-necked and rebellious people. And he said, you've got to lead these people. You've got a problem. Number one, you know these people. Number two, you know the land. You're one of the people that went into the land. You looked around. You know that these people are advanced, they're strong, they are the sons of Anak, which means they're huge. He's going to fight 31 different kings and armies. Think about that. He's going to fight 31 different kings and armies in the process of retrieving the land. You have to be strong and courageous, because you're going into that land. You're going with the people, and you're going to go against other people. And you have to have the tenacity and the determination to be able to do it. You have to be strong and courageous. You have to trust me. And then he says in chapter 7, in verse number 7, again, you have to be strong and courageous, but I'm going to tell you why in another context. You have to be strong and courageous so that you can obey me at all times. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. One of the things that you and I have to understand, that from the beginning to the end, the number one primary expectation of God is this: do what he says. Do what he says. Obey him. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. If you look on the Sermon on the Mount, it says, here, you think this is what murder was? No, no, no. I don't want you to be angry. Oh, adultery? No, let's take a look how you look at another person. Let's make sure that your words are your bond and that you are honest in all ways. What does God expect of us? To love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, and to love our neighbor, whoever that is, as ourself. You see, the difference between the Jew and those of us in our generation is that they didn't look at the law as something to get out under. They looked at the law with delight. They loved the law. Because for them, it wasn't a legal code. It was God's instructions. It was God's guidance. It told them about his character. It told them about his expectations. It told them about his promises. They loved the law. When a child began to study the law, they would get a slate. And on that slate, the rabbi would pour honey. And the child would lick that slate clean. And he said, the Lord, the law is sweet. The Torah is delightful. We want you to love the Torah. Not be afraid of it. Not try to avoid it. Not try to get past it. But to love the law. The law taught them that they were set apart from all other people to be his chosen profession. You have to be strong and courageous so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. If you do everything that is written in it, then you will be successful. The word successful in the Hebrew means wise. Then you're going to be wise. Then you're going to be wise. We are amazingly technologically advanced. I'm not sure we're the wisest group of people on the face of the earth anymore. We are easily led by loud voices. We are not easily led by true voices. We like things that are loud and flashy with bright colors and lights, but the still small voice of God somehow gets overrun. If you listen and obey, then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. Why? You will have the wisdom of God. You need to keep God's word in front of you. And then he says in verse number 9, have I not commanded you? There it is. That's that question. I bet you were wondering where that was. I bet you don't even remember that we're doing a series on the questions of God, do you? Yeah. He just preaches. We don't know what he says. He talks for half an hour. It makes him happy. No. We're talking about the questions of God. Have I not commanded you? I know I've told this, but I want to say it again. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Are you listening? Do you understand what I am asking of you? Do you know what is expected of you from me? Have I not commanded you? Are you involved in this? Do you have any grasp? Are you getting it? What I'm asking of you, are you ready? Have I not commanded you to be doggedly courageous, to be resolute and brave, regardless of what you meet, what you come against, whatever you encounter, strength and courage. That's to be your motto. Strength and courage, strength and courage, strength and courage. The Romans had strength and honor. Ours will be strength and courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. There's no reason to shrink from fear. There's no reason for doubts. There's no reason for inadequacies. Because if you have doubts, fears, and inadequacies, you as a leader are crippled. You're going to go forward. Because I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. As long as you go, you always go in my way. I don't know about you, but I find that to be good news. And let me tell you why I find it to be good news. You and I have been given the responsibility to transform this country, not for a political purpose, but for a kingdom purpose. You and I have been called to transform this country into the very kingdom of God. And you look at me and you're saying that is completely unreasonable. It is not able to do it. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, I want you to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you even to the close of the age. I am with you no matter what. I am with you no matter what. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is with us in the Spirit. We have been given the very Spirit of the living God. It dwells within us. And God says nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with him. So we start with Elmwood Township, and then we move on to Traverse City, and then we go to Grand Traverse County, and we just keep going forward, and we keep lifting up the name of Jesus. And we are called to love those around us and to touch the lives of those who seem to be untouchable, who are frustrating, who are aggravating, who refuse to do what they need to. Be strong and courageous. Why? We're in the presence of God. We have his authority, his power. It says in the book of Ephesians that we have all of the spiritual gifts under heaven. All of those things have been poured unto us. He has left nothing to chance. But we have to do something. We have to do something. If you want to do the will of God, you have to know the will of God. And I will tell you this, I can give you 90% of the will of God, and it's found in the pages of Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. If you're going to do this, if we're going to do this, we are going to have to keep the word of God on our lips. We're going to have to meditate. We're going to have to think about it. and keeping it on our, did you know that the way they used to read the Old Testament was aloud? Whenever it was read, it was always read aloud, even in the home. Whenever they stood up, they didn't read to their minds, they read out loud. You know why? Because it helps you to recall it. It helps to cement it in your heart. Can you imagine being in the house every day, you read it aloud, and all of a sudden your children begin, I remember that story. Isn't that where David followed God and obeyed him and was able to kill the giant and then went on and became the king? I remember that story. Isn't that story where Esther said, I will do whatever is necessary? Isn't that the story where Jonah ran away from God and he got swallowed up by the fish? That's so cool. We remember the stories. We keep doing it. And then not only that, do we read aloud, we murmur it. We meditate. Actually, it says you murmur it. Do any of you talk to yourselves? I do. You know, I'll be out there. My wife will go, who are you talking to when you're mowing the lawn? I was just having a conversation with me. Why do you talk to yourself? We always agree. We always agree. I ask the best questions. What? Nothing. That's murmuring right there. What he's saying is that when you are thinking about the scripture, when you're thinking about, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, you're murmuring, you're whispering the words out. Blessed is the one who is poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, you are the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I'm a dim bulb, God. What do you need? And you're murmuring it, and you're thinking about it, and you're putting it. In other words, your engagement with the Bible is consistent. You think I just hammer the Bible all the time because, that's a pastor. It's what he does. No. If we don't know the word, how do we know what to do with obeying God? If we don't understand what he expects from us, how do you know? Are there some parts you're going to like better in the Bible? Absolutely. I'm going to tell you right now, the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles is tough sledding. All you have are lists of people that you don't know. It's like reading a phone book. Okay? I happen to get a big kick out of the first 7 chapters of Leviticus, but you might not. But there is a place that you need to read and you need to understand, and you look at it and you start reading the word and it begins to build an excitement because you understand that the primary thing when you read is that God uses these words all the time. Obey, keep, do. Obey, keep, do. And they're not suggestions, they're expectations. And Jesus said, here's what I expect out of you. I expect you to go make disciples. Yeah, but that's somebody who's gifted to that. I said, I don't believe he put that in there. Go make disciples. You know what else he said? This is a new command I give you. I want you to love one another just as I have loved you. Yeah, but you don't know this person. They're kind of like hugging a rose bush. No, they're not even that pretty. You think about that. We are called to love one another. Well, how do we do that? First of all, we know that God's presence is with us. Second of all, we know his word. Be strong and courageous. Let me tell you something. To stand up to the cultural forces that are even here in the city of Traverse City, to stand up to the cultural forces and say, this is the way that God expects us to go, you're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to be courageous, and you're going to have to be 150% convinced that this is the will of God. Because if you are, and if you go, you will go in the presence, authority, and power of God. I was talking with somebody earlier today, and they said one of the problems with our politicians is they have spines made out of linguine. Cooked linguine. It's like trying to make a, there's nothing there. Let me tell you something. There was nobody more gutsy on the face of the earth than Moses, and nobody who followed in his tracks better than Joshua. Why? They took the word of God and they believed it. And they knew that God was there. He spoke to them. God speaks to us. God speaks to us in his word. He shows us what is expected of us. Have I not shown you what I expect you? To love justice, mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. In other words, live like somebody who belongs to me. We know what God desires. We know that he's here in this room. Be strong and courageous. Be doggedly courageous. And obey. It's time to get to work. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Amen.